Good morning. I'm going to clobber you guys this morning. So I'm going to apologize first. Sorry. I'm really talking to myself. If you want to listen, that's good. But you don't have to. We're in Romans chapter 12. And the portion we have here this morning is 14 through 21. And we're going to talk about an app for life. Now, most of you guys know that app is short for application, right? You got that part? And there are programs that you run on your smartphone, but you got to be kind of smart to have a smartphone. I think I have one, but I don't know how to use it, so I got a dumb phone. But you know, these phones, these smartphones, you know, you can count calories with your smartphone. You can help shop. You can create a to-do list. You can count the distance that you jog. It's really kind of cool. But as great as the apps are, they really can't make you stop eating. No. They can't control your spending habits. They can't really do the things on your list. And they really can't actually get you to jog. You have to do these things. So today, we're going to look at the app of forgiveness. And I suspect that most of us recognize that we have been forgiven. But I'm going to spend a little time on those of us that carry grudges, for lack of a better term. Let's pray. Father, we're asking for help this morning because this is very practical in the sense that we'll have an opportunity to examine our hearts very carefully. We're most thankful for Jesus and for what he's done to help us get through these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at forgiveness. That's kind of tough. You know, is anybody here who's ever been hurt by somebody and you know you really didn't do anything to deserve what was done to you? Is there anybody here who would like to give someone a piece of your mind for what they said or did to you? Anybody here who has visualized in his or her mind what you'd like to do to get even with somebody for what they did to you? Nah, not this group. It's Dunny Parker's here. We perfect. Well, except for one. One. Well, everybody here is going to hurt somebody. Even when you're trying to do the right thing, somebody that's close to you is going to misunderstand you, and they're going to be hurt by it. And you know that. And when you do something good for someone else, someone is going to be jealous of your actions and feel hurt because you didn't do the same for them, right? I mean, the list is huge. There's a lot of pain in our families because we think somebody else got more of what we deserved, or somebody got away with something and we didn't. That happened to me a lot in school, I think, really. I had a desk in the principal's office. We were great friends. In life, none of us can really get away with everything we want or everything that we think we deserve, right? And some of us have been set up to be hurt. All of us are going to hurt. That's a fact of life. That's the way it goes. There is no pass-through hurt-free card in life. But what's even a greater factor in shaping our lives is, I think, unrealistic expectations that we have about how life really goes. And I think there's really only two options. There's probably 100, but I could figure two. We either hold a grudge or we choose to forgive. Right? Now, the option of holding a grudge really looks really good for a while. And it feels good. It feels like you've done something when you say, oh, I'll never speak to that old whatever again, you know. And you get pleasure out of rolling your eyes when you see that person coming. And you enjoy telling them off in your mind. And it feels good that you imagine walking up to that person and giving them a little thunder and a little lightning. And you feel a sense of triumph if you find out something bad happened to them. And you even spiritualize it by saying something, aha, God don't like ugly. Holding a grudge is the natural thing to do when you've been hurt. But does holding a grudge really work? Now, some of the grudges that stick to us are the hardest, are the ones that we probably had a role in creating the feelings in the first place. Well, here comes that someone. And now you see why everybody tried to tell you before you fell in love, right? Don't do that. Your blood pressure is going off the charts. You're so angry with that person. And you're still angry at your parents. And so the grandkids don't get to visit the grandparents. And you won't show up at family events because that person is going to be there. And you're frustrated and you're angry with your teacher because they gave you a low grade that kept you from getting that 4.0. And you get mad at everybody every time you think of your ex, whatever, ex-boss, ex-neighbor. Well, people know not to come around you because they can tell you're thinking about that person. It's holding a grudge, really working for you. The longer you hold a grudge, the longer the grudge will hold on to you. You've got chains that are holding you down and you can't even see it. You can't really move forward in life because a grudge, it just keeps pulling you back to that incident in the past. 3 days ago, 3 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever the number. The deeper you hold on to it, the deeper it holds on to you. Ah. And the emotional weight really becomes too deep for you to handle. And you become an angry person without realizing what you're doing. And you lash out at anybody that looks like that person, that acts like that person, that reminds you of that person, or has a place in your life like that person. Well, a grudge frequently does very little to the other person, right? The worst part is they might not even know you're holding a grudge against them. And they may be thinking, oh, you know, that's just Bruce, you know. He's always kind of crazy like that. Holding a grudge hurts the person holding the grudge. It's like you're carrying around a rattlesnake. Eventually, you're going to get seriously hurt. A grudge is our way of thinking that this is going to keep the other person from getting away with what they did to me. Holding grudges, it doesn't work, and you've got to move forward in a relationship. Because I think there's a better way. And that's what the portion is this morning. And that better way is forgiveness. Why should you make the choice to forgive? Why? Well, you've got to release the other person. But even more importantly, you've got to release yourself, right? To be released from the grudge. Some of us won't admit the chain of the grudge in our lives. I'm not holding a grudge. I just won't speak to that person. What do you call that? Is it natural not to speak to your sister, your brother, your child, your parent, your coworker, your Dunning Park family member? Of course it's not natural. You're holding a grudge, and the first step is to admit it. I'm holding a grudge. Well, in my opinion, forgiveness works a whale of a lot better than a grudge does. And if anybody has reason for holding a grudge, it's God. How many of us will acknowledge that we have been blessed by things from God that we did nothing to deserve? Nothing. If you're alive, you didn't turn on some button to make that happen. You didn't create your lungs to breathe. You didn't make the brain that allows you to do the special kind of work that you do, whatever that might be. You didn't determine the place where you were born. God did all of that for our behalf. And yet all of us have put our fingers in the face of God at some time or another, and we said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it when I want to do it. And I don't want you getting in my way. I think Frank Sinatra sang a little song about that, didn't he? We love that song. Admit it. Well, can you imagine a 2-year-old talking to you like that without you sending them to the third heaven? And yet with our puny little bodies, we shake our fist in the face of the Almighty God. I'm going to do it my way. Well, God then tells us, when you disobey me, your life is headed for destruction. Yowzes. And you will have to pay for the wrong you have done by being cast into the lake of fire at death. Pleasant thought, that is. But then, God loves us so much that he says, I will pay the price for the wrong that you have done. Because you can't pay that price. And so God comes to the earth in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've messed up and we have no hope of being in a right relationship with God ever again because of our wrongdoing. Only somebody who's perfect and never did any wrong can pay for the wrong that we did. Right? What other way is there? You're going to buy your way in? You're standing next to Bill Gates and he can't afford it. How are you going to buy your way in? Well, I did a lot of good things. You want to compare? Who do you want me to say about that one? Jesus was nailed to a cross to die to pay for our sins. All of us were there at the cross because he was dying there for each one of us. So imagine, Jesus is on the cross, blood all over, agony, pain, the thorns, blood dripping down from the thorns in the brow, and you look at him, and you look back, and he looks back at you, and you walk to the cross, and as you walk to the cross, he gasps, and he says, "Ah, Bruce, I forgive you. Wow. Ah, you're forgiven." And you say, "But Lord, I don't deserve it." And he calls your name again and he says, "I know all about that. And you are forgiven." Ah, wow. Nothing, I want you to know nothing you have done can trump the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing you have done. You say, but you know, Bruce, if you really knew what I have done," to which I'll respond again, nothing you have done, nothing you do can trump the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does anybody want to say amen? When we stand near God's forgiveness long enough, we recognize that not only does God's grace and forgiveness flow into us, but he wants that same grace to flow out of us, right? That's who we are as children of the King. We're gracious people, forgiven people, forgive others. Forgiveness allows us to move forward with God, and it allows us to move forward with others. Grace comes to you to flow out of you. Now think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. God called Jeremiah into ministry, knowing that Jeremiah was going to be lied about. Jeremiah was going to be treated unfairly. He knew people would slander his name. They'd beat him. They'd throw him into prison. They'd try to kill him. But God's promise to Jeremiah was that God would be with him. And then, as we read now in Romans chapter 12, we're going to read 14 through 21. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." Now, here we go. Verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." Verse 17 lets us know that we have a choice. And it says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." First of all, notice that the Bible does not try to say that what happened to you was small. Now, it might have been. I'm not the judge of that. But it doesn't say, oh, it was just, it calls it evil. Evil is something sinister, straight out of the pit of hell. And it's the devil attempting to destroy you. But we have a choice. We can pay back evil for evil, or we can choose to forgive. Now, if you're a believer, like Jeremiah, God has promised to be with you. Okay. God saw what happened to you. Now, the rest of the verse says, verse 17, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. At the heart of the forgiveness is our ability to believe God will do what God says God will do. We want to hold a grudge to make sure that that person does not get away with the wrong that he or she has done. Forgiveness looks as though we let them off the hook, when in reality, we didn't let them off anything. We simply put our trust in God to do the right thing. You get the difference there? God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. If we hold a grudge or try to get even, we're saying, God, you can't handle this one, so I'll do it myself. So, whose job are we taking away in order for us to get even? I know you guys, I know you figured that one out pretty quick. God's job. I found that downtown, I can get stuff done. Sometimes I even do it nicely. But you know what? I make a lousy God. If I was God,
there'd be a lot of people that already be in heaven. You know what I mean?
But for those of you who think that you can be God, how much do you need to do to a person to get even? How will you use that revenge to change the person to draw them closer to God? You know, I'm not smart enough to know the answer to those questions. You know, I'd be tempted to just think about me and not be big enough to realize that, oh, God may have a greater purpose than just me in mind. God is working in me through forgiveness as well. God allows things in our lives to show us just how far we've grown or how far we should grow. God says, here is what I want you to do to the one who has wronged you, in verse 20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God's point is that we do not overcome evil with evil. If we try it, we will be overcome by evil ourselves. Revenge will backfire on you. We are called to overcome evil with God. You know, love is the most excellent way. God overcame the evil of our rebellion by choosing to love us. And for those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus, we have even yet a higher reason to choose to forgive. We are on a mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have time to insist on making sure that everything and everybody respects us and our rights. The Lord Jesus himself was not respected. And he told us, whatever they do to me, they're going to do to you. So quit worrying about whether or not it was fair. It probably wasn't fair. Life isn't fair. Quit worrying about whether it's going to take up all your time or not. Nobody can be fair all of the time. Jesus says, in effect, don't worry about whether or not you're being treated fairly. If we're constantly trying to make sure that we got all that we should have by looking for justice for ourselves, then know that this is a sign that we've taken our eyes off of the Lord Jesus and have put our focus back on ourselves. Stop looking for justice in the world, but never cease to give it. If we look for justice, we will only begin to complain and kind of have a self-pity party, you know, as if to say, why should I be treated like this? In the devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, we find the words, if we are devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have nothing to do with what we have to encounter, whether it is just or unjust. In essence, you know, Jesus says, continue steadily on with what I have told you to do, and I will guard your life. If you try to guard it yourself, you remove yourself from my deliverance. And that is hard to hear. But God has a plan for your pain and for mine. Please do not take it outside of His will for your life. Don't do that. That is a mistake. Put your trust in God. You know, put your trust in God. Put your trust in God to make your situation right. In God's own timing, in God's own way. Jesus died to set us free from having to hold a grudge. Jesus died to forgive us so that we can forgive others. Right? Learn a lesson, Bruce. Jesus died to teach us that God is the one who will repay. Jesus died to empower us with His Spirit so that we'll be able to overcome evil with good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're so very thankful that You love us in spite of ourselves. We're so very thankful that we've been forgiven. Lord, help us to act that way. Frequently, we get goofed up. And we think that we're in charge of these things. Help us in a clear and a definite way to recognize that You are God and we are not. And help us, as we think that way, to recognize because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and saved us from our sins. We pray that'll make a difference in the way that we think and the way that we act. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.